Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track. And let's see, John, one side of the coin, the NBA playoffs start August the 1st. Other side of the coin, plan screws up somehow. Call it in the air.
Oh, let's play. August 1st.
August 1st. Heads. That's what I'm talking about. Fudge.
Fast Track.
All right, guys, I have a list of the top-selling NFL jerseys right now on NFLShop.com.
Okay.
In the top 10, there are only four players. Three of these players are so popular that they have multiple jerseys in the top 10, home, road, and alternate. Can you name the four players in the top 10, and you can work together on it?
Okay, so I think Tom Brady has to be one of them.
Tom Brady has number three, the Buccaneers Pewter Alternative Vapor. The number four, the Buccaneers White Vapor. The number five, the Buccaneers Red. And the number six, the Buccaneers Red Vapor.
Five uniforms.
Yeah, four. He has four of the top 10 selling uniforms. Okay. Oh, okay. By the way, and number 10 is Buccaneers Pewter Alternate. So he has five of the 10.
Crazy.
3, 4, 5, 6, and 10. All right, so you got
okay,
one of them.
Okay, Funch, Lindsay, put our heads together. Let's put our heads together. I'm kind of thinking Tua.
Yeah, I heard his jersey's really popular.
Okay, let's go Tua.
Tua number one and number two.
What?
Tua, Dolphins.
One and two.
One and two. Dolphins Aqua. Tua's Dolpha Aquins jersey, Aqua jersey number one. And number two is his white jersey, his Dolphins white jersey. So that means the top five reads like this. Number one, Tua. Number two, Tua. Number three, Brady. Number four, Brady. Number five, Brady. Number six, Brady. You're just missing seven and eight. Seven, the guy who has seven also has nine, and then you're missing eight. So you've got two of the four.
Okay, so one guy's got two and one guy's got one.
Correct.
Okay. Was there anybody else in this draft?
What about?
Yeah, who's the other? There's Tua and the other quarterback who's in the top.
Justin Herbert?
Yeah, no.
Burrow.
Fifth player taken. Yeah, Burrow. Joe Burrow.
Burrow's got to be on there.
Joe Burrow, number eight. His Bengals black jersey, Joe Burrow's white jersey, is also number 11. So you're only missing the person that has seven and nine.
Seven and nine.
No strikes.
Okay.
Could it be a Cowboy?
Could be a Cowboy.
What about Jalen Hurts?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Jalen Hurts.
Okay. I was just thinking quarterbacks.
Yeah. Any other quarterbacks?
Drew Brees?
Change teams.
No.
Any quarterbacks change? Phil Rivers? I don't think Phil Rivers would be there. He changed teams. Let's take a shot at. Let's take a shot at Justin Herbert. No, that's not.
Good.
It's the Chargers. Forget it.
No. Okay, so no?
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
He said good. He started to say good, like good guess.
Yeah. Let's
right.
do it.
Strike one. But it was a good guess. Justin Herbert's new Charger jersey is ranked 12th.
Okay.
So he was just outside of the top 10. But no, that's only one strike.
There's got to be a Charger jersey on there.
No, there does not have to be a Charger jersey.
Well, I feel like it fills in the number one, though. I only say that because...
It will not be a Charger jersey, Lindsay.
Okay.
Read the room. Okay.
What about Baker Mayfield? He was like last year. He was
last year. Is he a little post-hype? Let's try Baker Mayfield.
Strike two. Baker not in the top 12. You have one guess left.
Okay.
So I think it could be
Jared Stidham?
No.
Yeah. Quarterback for the Patriots.
Nah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people though are still not running out buying his jersey because they still don't know
for
if he's
Jared Stidham.
Start.
You're right. The Jared Stidham jersey is not a hot item right now. Okay, let's throw out
kick yourself when you miss.
What about like? Okay, we just
Todd Gurley.
don't know.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Mason says yes, and you have struck out.
Oh.
All right, guys.
He went rogue.
Huge name change teams. Number seven and number nine belongs to Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, I forget about him.
I forget that
the Buccaneers pewter alternate is number seven, and the Buccaneers red is number nine. You guys actually did very well there, just unable to come up with Gronk.
Yeah,
Funch?
Wow, that's a fast track. Crazy one. All right, let's see. I'm going to do this one. Let's do this one. Okay, John. Not that one. America will usher in a new era of space flight next week. And Discovery and the Science Channel are offering a front row seat. The networks will share live coverage of the May 27 launch of SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket with crew. Space Launch Live, America Returns to Space, starts at 11 a.m. Pacific time from the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. Among the guests lined up for the program are, for some reason, Katy Perry and a bunch of former astronauts. The show will also feature an interview with an astronaut who's on the International Space Station, where the SpaceX mission is actually headed. Do you think, so think about this, this is the first time that we're sending somebody to space in a really long time, and they're offering a full access look at it. This is Elon Musk's company. Do you think many people will watch the live launch of the SpaceX flight? Or is it just, are people just not interested in space?
It's a great question. I'm not interested in space, so I will not be watching. But Michael Thompson will be watching for sure. He loves rockets and planes and stuff like that. I'm going to guess this does do a fairly big number. I think more people care about it than don't. I just don't think it makes for great television. You're just kind of sitting there looking at the inside of a rocket ship, and there isn't a lot of action there. So that's why I wouldn't be into it. But are you going to watch it?
Yeah, I mean, I will have it on here. I've now got my house set up, so I've got a TV in front of me. As I'm getting ready for the show, I can certainly imagine that at 11 a.m. on the 27th, which is next week, I will put it on. I want to see what it looks like. By the way, this is the first private company to ever do it. They've been launching rockets, SpaceX. This is the first time Elon Musk has actually sent people up, and they're going to go all the way to the International Space Station. I actually am kind of intrigued by the whole thing. I will definitely put it on.
Now, if he puts Katy Perry in the spaceship and
that's news.
And it's like a reality show, then I'm all over it. Like,
by the way, I don't have a good answer for why Katy Perry is part of the coverage.
Because she's Katy Perry.
It's like four former astronauts and Katy Perry.
She has like 75 friends. Million Twitter followers. It's putting Kim Kardashian on the show.
Lindsay said something interesting. Are Elon Musk and Katy Perry friends?
I feel like they are.
That could be the reason.
I know Katy Perry's having a baby with Orlando Bloom, that's her boyfriend. But I don't know if she's friends with Elon Musk.
I feel like either they're friends or their boyfriends, husbands, whatever, our friends.
Something. All right. So anyway, like Katy Perry, part of the coverage. I'll have it on. It's next week. We're going to space again. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
All right, Mace. Former Major League Baseball slugger Jose Canseco posted a series of tweets last week about how he is going to be teaching dream control seminars. Here's what he said. Quote, I'm going to teach dream control seminars. After you get your master's in dream control, you will be able to enter a facility where you'll be put in a coma-induced dream state for whatever time you choose and be able to do whatever you want with no restrictions whatsoever. Canseco later added, first lesson in dream control. Ask yourself, am I dreaming as much as possible? Once you ask that question while you're dreaming, you will know what to do. Limitless power in dream control, a gate to another life. End quote. I have many questions here, but I'll ask just a few. Would this even be a good thing? A lot of people dream big, but then you wake up and you're back in whatever your life is. Would you want to do this?
Well, it reminds me of a couple movies. Inception, obviously, which is a fantastic movie by Christopher Nolan, where they put themselves into a dream state, and then they fight these battles while they're in their dreams.
Total Recall. That was the
premise. Total Recall is another one. Flatliners is the third one, where people would actually die for a minute and then see what the afterlife was about. I don't think I would be the first one in line for this. This sounds a little bit dangerous, inducing yourself into a coma. So okay. I would not be up for this.
Well, that leads myself to the second question. Is there any possibility, even a 1% chance, that Canseco knows what he's talking about here? Or is this just a money grab? Like, would you trust Jose Canseco with your mind?
I would not trust Jose Canseco. I think that much of his life was a science experiment, using PEDs and various other stuff. I'm intrigued by the idea. I'm not saying I would never do it, but I just wouldn't be the first one in line to do it.
Right, and even if I did agree to do it, I'm not going to the Jose Canseco Dream Center. I think I would go to a more, let's just say, an actual doctor. Why would I trust Jose Canseco to put me into a sleep-induced coma? I may never wake up. What
but I will say this,
does Jose Canseco have?
Do you remember dreams? You don't sleep much.
No, but here's an interesting thing about dreams. Do you know you always dream in black and white? And do you know okay, you do. You always dream in black and white. And no dream ever lasts longer than 30 seconds.
That doesn't seem possible.
I agree.
Google it.
I feel like that's a theory.
No. I mean, these are what dreams...
How is that scientifically proven?
Well, I mean, I don't know. This is what... I Googled dream experts, and this is what dream experts
say. The first thing that came up actually says, while most people report dreaming in color, there is a small percentage of people who only dream in black and white.
So yeah, 12% of people dream in black and white.
Oh, this
everybody else has color.
Well, I have really boring dreams because I'm always dreaming in black and white. But is it also, what about the 30 seconds thing? Is that also bogus?
Yeah, where are you getting this information?
Uber facts.
Well, I can tell you that's wrong. That's wrong.
It says on the length of a dream can vary.
Dreams may occur during stages of sleep. However, these dreams must less available. The length of dream can vary. They may last for a few seconds or approximately 20 to 30 minutes.
Oh, that's so the Uber facts lied to me.
You are passing along unbelievably fake facts about dreaming.
Well, the Jose Canseco story was real. He actually is
opening
a dream center.
I remember my dreams very clearly. And, you know, I often go back to exactly the same places. Like, my dreams, like, I definitely go to New York. I have a lot of dreams where I'm living in New York. I have a lot of dreams where I'm at Bowling Green. And I'm in exactly the same place. So I dream at the same places. It's always a different story.
For years.
I love sleeping, and I love dreaming. And I remember my dreams really clearly.
For years, my recurring dream was I showed up for a final completely unprepared. Like, I got there, and here's the final. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? We have a final today? And then I woke up and found out it wasn't real. I have no idea why that was a recurring dream for me, but it was for a lot of years. I would say for probably 5 years after I got out of college and the whole time I was in college. So I found that just odd.
I find the dreams fascinating. And I love – there's an episode on Netflix on that like What We Learned series or whatever that they do about dreaming. And – there's all kinds of theories and whatnot. Nobody really like exactly seems to know what's going on, but most people believe that it's just your subconscious thoughts and that you can't actually dream of anything that you've never seen before.
Oh, that's interesting. By the way, a lot of people have the recurring finals dream. It's very common that you either forgot, you didn't take the course, you
what
were completely unprepared. I'm not sure what it actually means.
Huh.
I'm not sure what it means.
I have dreams like that a lot.
Dream.
Like I'm in school, or I still actually like recently had a dream where I'm at the radio station and I forget how to run the board, and we have to go on the air, and I totally forgot how to run the board, and I don't know how to get us on the air because something crazy happened. Like my mind was fried, or going to school and not, like you said, not knowing what's on the test or even that we had a test. I have a lot of dreams about school.
Huh. Interesting.
Can you guys control your dreams?
I don't think so.
I think when I wake up in the middle of a dream, I can make myself go back to that dream.
I'm always bummed out when I wake up in the middle of a dream. I'm like, damn, that was fun. What the hell? Why'd I wake up?
Yeah, no.
You ever have serial killers chasing you and like you get yourself out of it?
No, but I've had the one where you're running down the dark hallway and you just kind of are lost. I don't know what that indicates, but I have that one.
I have one. When I lived in New York, I always wanted to go to the Friars Club. I was never a big enough deal to go to the Friars Club, but I often have dreams where I'm at the Friars Club in New York.
How do you know
what
it looks
like? Which is where all
the
comedy people hang out.
But how do you know what it looks like if you're not allowed in it?
I have an image. It's like a big banquet hall.
You know,
they used to show roasts there.
There was a Seinfeld episode about this.
Oh, was there?
Where Jerry goes to the Friars Club and he didn't bring a sport coat and he has to wear a sport coat and then he loses it. And it becomes – that's basically the episode. But, yeah, maybe that's how you knew.
Yeah. All right. More Fast Track coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. Rolling on with Fast Track. And Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right. WFAN in New York is reporting that Yankee Stadium will become a drive-in movie theater in the summer. It will be a combination of a drive-in movie, live music concert, and a car dine-in. The festival-like event will happen every weekend starting in July. They also say that the stage will be lifted and the MC, the performers, and the hosts will stream from a PA system that will go directly to your cars. Now, guys, would you be down to go to one of these if they was local at Dodger or Angel Stadium?
100%, man. I'm looking for stuff to do.
Now, wait a minute. You won't go to a restaurant, but you'll do this?
I'm in my car. I'm in my own car.
But you're
completely socially distanced. You're in your own car. You bring your own food.
No, I think that the idea was you would get food from the people at Yankee Stadium, right?
I don't think that was part of the deal.
I'm sure they probably had the option to buy concessions, and if you don't want to, you don't have to.
I'm sure they have like food trucks out there, maybe, and then if you want to buy something from out there, then you know, or bring something yourself.
Mace, would you go to a food truck?
No, I'm going to bring my own food to see the concert. It's like Hollywood Bowl.
Food truck? What's wrong with a food truck?
I don't want to go out and mix with people right now. I'm not
what
up for the mixing.
What if it was socially distant? And you had a clear path to get there, and they were limiting the number of people that waited in line. Like they
I'll say possibly.
What if they brought it to your car?
Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing. Yeah. What if they brought it to your car? That's a good idea.
Well, I was going to say if they're bringing it to your car, aren't they violating social distancing? But that's what I do now. I go drive to pick up food, and they have everything set up out on the curb, and they just hand it to me.
I think it is a fantastic idea, though, to see a concert or to see a movie. In a gigantic parking lot with an elevated stage, I'm all for that. I mean, whether food or not, I'm going to bring my own booze. I'm going to bring my own you-know-what, and I'm going to bring my own dinner, and I'm going to have a party in the car while I'm watching Bon Jovi or whoever, Springsteen, perform, or if I'm seeing the new James Bond movie, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I would be willing to give it a try. Sure, why not? I mean, who knows? I think we got to be willing to try stuff that we maybe never would have considered before.
Because if everybody's in their own car, you're naturally socially distanced.
Yeah, I would do it. Funch, would you?
I'd love to do it. It sounds like something that goes on in the sermons of L.A. all the time. It's called Cinema in the Park, basically, where they go to different parks and put on a movie. But it's just in your cars.
Hey, by the way, speaking of people handing you food, like if somebody walked up to your car and handed you food. You guys tell me if this is something or nothing. There's an Urban Plates right around the corner from where I live. I don't know if you guys have one of those by you, but they're really good. And so I walked in there to pick up takeout the other night, and I had a mask on, and the girl behind the counter, I pre-ordered, so my food was all in a bag. The girl behind the counter handed me my food, and she didn't have gloves on. She had a mask, but no gloves. I looked over to the where they prepare the food,
right?
And those people had gloves on. Is it something or nothing that the people handing me my food don't have gloves on?
I think it's nothing. There's all kinds of research that goes back and forth on this. because a lot of people say, well, if you're wearing gloves constantly throughout the day, you're being less cognizant of washing your hands, and you're any germs that you may touch with the gloves, you could be spreading onto other surfaces because you think you don't have to wash your hands as much. So that's why, one of the reasons why I hadn't been wearing them, because it makes me super, like, hyper aware of washing my hands.
Okay. Even if I agree with all that, my thought would be, if you're handling food in any way, shouldn't you have at least those cheap plastic gloves on?
But isn't she's just handling the package, not the food.
That's how I justified it when I ate the food.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Plus, if you're handling money, you're actually not supposed to be using gloves because...
Well, I prepaid, so I just walked in and picked it up.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, I think as long as she's not handling the actual food, she's okay with no gloves to actually hand you a package.
Okay.
Like, I'm assuming when I order Grubhub or somebody to come over here, they're setting a box down or a bag down on my front step and ringing the bell so I know it's there. But I'm assuming they weren't wearing gloves when they dropped off the bag.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. All right, Lindsay.
Fast track.
All right, so I have a little bit of a game for you guys.
Okay.
We've been talking a lot about the squabble between the billionaire owners and the millionaire, sometimes couple hundred thousandaire players.
Yes.
I found a recent article that had a list of all of the MLB owners and how much they're currently worth.
Okay.
How much their team is worth as far as the principal owners of the teams.
Okay.
So I'm gonna ask you guys, which one has more? This is a famous book, a page out of John Ireland's book. And I'm gonna give you the name and the team, and you guys tell me who has more. I'll start with you, Steve. We'll go with John Fisher of the Oakland A's,
mm-hmm.
or John Middleton of the Phillies. Who has
I'm
going to
go John Middleton of the Phillies.
Okay.
I also will go John Middleton of the Phillies.
Okay. Funch?
Middleton of the Phillies.
Okay, you guys are all right, even though it's close by a billion. John Fisher.
Oh, it's close. They're only a billion apart.
When you look at all these billions of numbers together, it's kind of funny when you consider them close. All right. We're going to go with the less than $1 billion bracket. Okay, these guys are considered, quote unquote, poor.
100 millionaires.
Couple hundred millionaires. Let's go with Ron Fowler, Padres, and Stuart Sternberg of the Rays.
Oh, both cheap.
Yeah, I will say Ron Fowler has more. Ron Fowler of the Padres has more.
Okay, Mace?
I'll say Ron Fowler of the Padres has more.
And Funch?
Padres owner.
Yeah, they're all incorrect on that one.
What?
Ron Fowler is a $500 million man, and Stuart Sternberg of the Rays is an $800 million man.
Boy, they're both cheap.
Yeah, do a couple more. These guys will take out of the blue collar working class. They've just broken a billion, give or take. These are very, very close. We'll go with John Stanton, the Mariners, or John Sherman, Royals owner.
I will go John Stanton, the Mariners.
Mariners, okay.
Didn't the Royals just get sold? I'll go with the Royals guy.
They did just get sold, yes. And Funch.
I'll go with Stanton.
Funch and Mace are incorrect. John is right.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to have a bunch of money to buy a baseball
1.1
team.
$1 billion versus $1 billion.
Okay, let's do one more, Linz.
One more here. You guys never like my games. Let's do one
all the marbles.
From the one percenters bracket, okay?
Okay.
Now, this one's really close. We're going to go with Charlie Johnson of the Giants and Ted and Mark Lerner of the Nationals. What say you, Funch?
The Nationals owner.
All right.
I'm also going the Nationals owner.
Okay,
well,
John?
I can win it because I'm ahead if I go the Nationals owner, but what fun would that be? Give me the Giants guy.
You're actually right anyway.
Oh!
Charlie Johnson of the Giants has $0.1 billion more than Ted and Mark Lerner of the Nationals. How much would that be? 0.1 billion? What is it, 100 million?
Yes.
100 million,
that's 100
yes.
million.
All these guys talking about their lack of money and losing money. And
I want to mention this again just because it bears repeating. The guy who owns Amazon, Jeff Bezos, is worth $1 trillion. That is $1,000 billion. $1,000 billion. That is an insane amount of money. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track and Funch, it's to me.
Fast Track.
A raucous Texas beach event known as Go Topless Jeep Weekend ended with two people hospitalized and nearly 200 others arrested on various charges. The sheriff said charges included assault, driving without a seatbelt, DWI, public intoxication. The event brought together thousands of Jeep lovers and four-wheel enthusiasts, along with people who joined a bunch of topless women. By the time the gathering ended, more than 180 attendees had been in custody. Numerous unrelated charges. Texas reopened the beaches May 1 after shutting them down because of the virus pandemic. A video from the weekend's festivities showed many of the attendees partying, drinking, and topless, and not practicing social distancing. John, have months of quarantine made us just friggin' crazy? Is it possible that this is post-quarantine behavior?
Why are you hating on Go Topless Texas Weekend? What is wrong with you, and what do you have against the topless people of Texas? This is an attack question on your behalf, and I won't stand for it. I, as always, stand for the topless people of America. What is wrong with you? So they got in some Jeeps, they took off their top, and they just left things to chance. Who are we to say no?
Yeah, I think there is so much pent-up craziness. In no way am I endorsing, ignoring social distancing and all that stuff.
You're just hating on Texas Topless Weekend.
I'm afraid there are going to be more events like Go Jeep Topless Weekend in Florida.
I actually thought you made it up.
No, totally real. Totally real. In Texas, Go Topless Jeep Weekend did happen. I'm a little afraid that there is so much pent-up energy that stuff like this is going to happen all over the place. Lindsay, what do you think? Will this be duplicated anywhere else?
I think it will, and I was actually just going to jump in and say I heard a clip of a news report of what happened as far as the arrests go. And once you hear these people talking and just whatever the hell that they were doing out there on the beach, it makes me feel like I am dumber for having listened to it. I just said it's a fun show.
You two are hating on Jeep.
But it's hilarious.
Go Topless Texas Weekend.
I'm not hating on it. I just think that the people that they chose to put in this video might have been a little too topless or something. I don't know. It was pretty. It's quite a scene.
Yeah. All right. Funch.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. Next week, the NBC Sports Channel will air a series of old Saturday Night Live episodes, all hosted by athletes.
Hmm.
One look at the schedule, and you see a ton of star power. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Ronda Rousey, John Cena, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, J.J. Watt, and Andy Roddick are just a few of the people who will be hosting shows. These are all old shows, obviously. But there are two athletes I haven't mentioned. One has hosted 3 times, and another has hosted 4 times.
Wow.
Can you name them both?
I think I know one.
Peyton Manning has hosted quite a few times,
Peyton Manning, I mentioned.
Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley is one. He's the one who's hosted 3 times.
And the other one is 4?
4 times. More than any other athlete ever.
Hmm. 4 times. Wow.
Anybody?
Tom Brady has hosted it, but I don't know.
I mentioned Tom Brady.
Yeah,
tell us what sport.
It would give it away, but let's just say I'm surprised Lindsay hasn't gotten it.
Oh, interesting. So, is it LeBron?
I mentioned LeBron.
You mentioned LeBron.
He's on one of the shows, yeah.
Lindsay hasn't gotten it, so it's somehow Cleveland related. Lindsay?
I'm drawing a blank.
It's not Cleveland related. I would also think Funch would come up with this.
So it's NBA related?
No.
No.
All right. This guy is now known more for being an actor than an athlete. But
Oh, The Rock. It's
John Cena.
Oh.
John Cena.
He's done it four times?
Yep, has hosted four. Oh, no, you're right. It's The Rock. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mentioned John Cena. The Rock is the one. He's mentioned four times. He's won it four times. The Rock, by the way, every time he hosts, it's funny.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's unbelievably funny.
Yeah, and boy, he's now known more for being a movie star than he is a wrestler, isn't he?
Sure he is, absolutely. He's one of the most bankable stars in the world. If his name is on a movie, it sells worldwide.
Is John Cena that way? That's why I mixed him up for
not as not as big, but I'll tell you, he's
a totally different. Yeah, he's a totally different. Comes from a completely different era of wrestling too. Whereas The Rock was the top of the world, and Cena was, but it just the WWE in general as a whole wasn't nearly as popular as it was at Cena's height as it was during The Rock, because The Rock was just everywhere.
I think Cena's getting there.
So the ultimate compliment in Saturday Night Live hosting is if you're in the Five Timers Club.
Yep.
And The Rock, the next time he hosts, will be in the Five Timers Club. That is reserved for people like Tom Hanks, Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin, those type of people. And one more, and The Rock is in.
Yeah. Cena's in a really funny movie called Blockers.
I've seen that one. It's funny.
I also thought Cena was good as Amy Schumer's boyfriend in Trainwreck.
In Trainwreck, yeah, he was very funny.
He often plays that character, either that or a big heroic action hero that doesn't have a whole lot of lines. I don't think that he is anywhere near the amount of talent as far as an actor goes.
I agree with you. The Rock is one of the single most charismatic actors there is right now. He's so friggin' good. All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
It's time. Time for Mystery Voice.
Okay.
It is Lindsay versus John.
Terrible at this.
Let's kill all music. Your name is your buzzer. Here is Mystery Voice number one.
Like right now, usually, the summertime.
Lindsay.
It's LeBron.
It's LeBron, yes. Lindsay on the board. That was from a Zoom call the other
night. He must have let me have that one, because how did John not know LeBron?
Here is Mystery Voice number two.
I just practiced a lot about
John.
Angle the ball.
John. Oh, I thought I had it, and I don't. I'll say Jared Dudley.
No. All right, Lindsay, you get the whole clip here.
I just practiced a lot about the angle of the ball and trajectory of it. You got a Larry Bird, it's going to spin.
Oh, it's Dennis Rodman.
Magic, and maybe
Lindsay?
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman's correct. She takes a 2-0 lead. Okay. That was from The Last Dance.
I got to get them all now.
Okay, here is Mystery Voice number three.
Well, for version one of the device, it would be...
Lindsay. Elon Musk.
Elon Musk is correct. Lindsay has taken a 3-0 lead.
She's won it,
John.
Now, Lindsay, I have never, ever in the history of the show been shut out. If you get these next two, you will be the first person to ever shut me out in Mystery Voice.
Here I had a feeling it was designed to play in your favor.
I don't know.
No.
You've already won.
I mean, they'll get more John Ireland friendly as well.
Oh, we'll see.
Along.
We'll see.
Okay. Here is Mystery Voice number four.
I thought the apologies were whatever.
Lindsay.
Cody Bellinger.
Yes!
You got it!
She is up 4-0.
Here it is, Lindsay. You have a chance to make Mason and Ireland show history.
Do I get a big fancy award for it?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
This is for everything. Here is Mystery Voice number five.
The number one rule when you're in a crisis, and make no mistake.
Wait, you're chasing me, Lindsay.
Oh, John. An NPR person. You did not use your buzzer, John.
Okay, so give it to Lindsay. Let her try.
Lindsay.
You can go. You said you beat me the second time when you said your name. Go ahead.
No. I played illegally. Give it a shot.
I don't know who it is.
Seriously?
You don't know who
I gave you the answer, but go ahead, Fudge, go ahead.
The number one rule when you're in a crisis, and make no mistake, what he was in San Antonio was a crisis.
You
and
don't know who that is, Lindsay?
Who's worked for 2 months in PR.
Oh, it's you.
I'll tell you.
Thank you.
You sound so different.
You didn't recognize your own host.
You sound completely different. Your tone is like 3 octaves higher.
You couldn't pick John Ireland out of a lineup.
If you would have picked a clip from our show, then
that's all
I just
you
feel
needed.
Like the sound, it sounds weird. Oh. It sounds different. It doesn't sound like your everyday John Ireland that you hear on the radio.
That was us from the first take.
It would have been the ultimate irony had I've been swept for the first time ever on my own voice.
On your own voice, yeah. All right, know your host, Lindsay. Know your host.
No, she's still 1-4-1. Don't take away from that.
That's right. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, I got a game, and this will be interesting. I have a list of the most popular movies from every year since 1960.
Okay.
I've randomly selected some of these. I'll give you the year and describe the movie.
And when you say most popular, box office?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm looking for the title of the movie.
Okay.
Your name is your buzzer. The first person to get to 4 wins it. Okay? 1977. This movie introduced us to the Millennium Falcon.
Mason. Star Wars.
Star Wars is correct, and Mason is on the board. Okay. 1998. This movie begins in one country and ends in the water. It is the largest grossing Mace.
Titanic.
Yeah, they can't hang with you in this game.
No.
All right. Nope.
This is my game.
Okay. All right. 2003. This is an animated movie set in Australia.
Lindsay. Finding Nemo
is correct, and Lindsay is on the board.
Nice, Lindsay.
Okay.
Won't get a play, Curtis.
1964.
Oof.
All right. The same actress was also in the top-selling movie of 1965. But in 1964, she played...
Mason.
Mace.
Sound of Music.
Incorrect.
Oh,
it's
like trying to jump
and it. Lindsay, yep. She played a magical nanny.
Damn.
Lindsay. Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins is correct.
I knew it was 64, 65. I went for the different one.
Right. 65 was the Sound of Music. So Funch is not getting on the board. Lindsay and Mace are tied at 2. All right. 1986. The lead character in this movie felt the need for speed. Most of this movie...
Mace. Top Gun.
Top Gun is correct, and Mason is on the verge of victory.
I never knew that saying was from that movie, and I've seen that movie so many times.
The need for speed.
That'd be a good question or trivia game is catchphrases, movie catchphrases.
Yeah. All right, 3-2. Funch, you still alive over there?
I'm over here.
Are you alive?
It's not my game.
All right. 2008... Among the actors featured in this movie, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine,
Funch. The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight is correct. Funches is on the board.
Damn, I hate to lose on one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, those guys. I was going up in stars. The next one was going to be Aaron Eckhart, then Christian Bale, then Heath Ledger. Okay, Mason can win it. Lindsay and Funch still have a chance. 1975. We better get a bigger boat.
Mace.
Jaws, it's over.
Yes.
Mason wins. But Lindsay and Funch got on the board.
Yeah, got on the board. That was good. Right, I should really own that game.
Yeah, you should. I'd be disappointed if you lost.
Yeah, he would be disappointed.
Fast track.
Devastated. All right. In Spain, they've invented a robotic bartender. The idea is that it can pull you a pint without the slightest concern about contamination. The robot made its debut when the city of Seville began enjoying new freedom as Spain eased a two-month lockdown, with bars and cafes in half the country allowed to reopen their outdoor terraces. Sitting in the middle of the bar is the gigantic robotic arm with a Captain Hook pincher, smoothly reaching over to the dispenser, taking a plastic cup, spinning it around to hold it at an angle under the tap, gradually straightening the cup as it fills. The robot then places it on the counter for the customer to pick up. The bionic barman has drawn a steady stream of both customers and curious onlookers. John, do you think robot bartenders could be a real thing after this pandemic is over?
You just said the key thing. I think before the pandemic, it would have been a novelty that wears off after a couple of months. But now, all the rules are different. I'm not so sure that robotic bartenders, like we were talking earlier about, what do you do in a stadium? Okay. What do you do in an arena? What do you do if you go to a concert? Well, if you were pre-ordering drinks and robotic bartenders were making the drinks or even putting your food out on the counter, wouldn't you be more inclined to buy it if there was no human, if it was what they now refer to as contactless food purchasing? I think that now this thing, there's a place for this thing, don't you?
I absolutely do. Although, you know, here's the thing about bartenders. When all this is over, when there's a vaccine, when life returns, when life really, really returns to normal, don't you want to be able to have human contact with a bartender? I mean, think about this. In history, when we think of a bartender, it's somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can you can unload your feelings on. John, you were a bartender. Human interaction is part of being in a bar, isn't it?
It is, but people like you won't even go into restaurants.
No, I'm talking about when all this is over, when there's a vaccine, when everything is clear. Don't you think you want to get your beer from a person?
Sure, but in the meantime, until we have a solution, don't you think there's a place for the robot bartender?
Yeah, there probably is.
I don't, because I think it sets a bad precedent for people in the service industry. I mean, I put myself through college paying for everything, is working like sometimes 3-4 jobs, like waiting tables and bartending. So I just feel like it's one of those things where a lot of these casual dining restaurants.
Yep.
Do everything on the touchscreen now, and that's eliminated the need for a lot of people.
You're right, Lindsay.
More sit-down restaurants are doing that too, and it just makes me nervous because it's such like a great industry. It was always good to me working, and obviously you have your weirdos, but I think it's a good thing to be a part of, as far as you said, with the camaraderie and bonding with people, and even if it's a complete stranger who's serving you a beer, you know.
It is eliminating a job. There's no question about that. It is eliminating, and a lot of our automation stuff is eliminating jobs that won't ever come back. So I think we've got to be careful with some of this stuff when we think long-term horizon after a vaccine and after this thing is all over. We still want people to have those kinds of jobs
in the service industry. You guys will appreciate this. When I bartended in college, we bartended for this guy who owned two bars, and there were a bunch of guys in my fraternity that kind of handed it down over the years. So for about a 10-year period, there were probably 12 of us that bartended for this guy and picked up most of the shifts. And so he was noticing that some of the bartending shifts were making less money than the other ones. And so he brought in one of his friends who'd been in the bar business for a long time to, you know, come in and watch and see if he could figure out why on some Thursday nights the take was really big, and then the following Thursday it wouldn't be as big. And so they call me into the office after this guy gets done with his report. And any of my friends will tell you this is 100% true. I had no way to even like deny it. They said, John, of all the bartenders here, you know, you pull in the least amount of money.
Really?
And I said, why? He goes,
did you only talk to one person the whole time?
No, he said, you're too talkative.
He said,
you talk to every, he said, your tips are good. He goes, your tips are comparable to everyone else's, but you'll stay in one part of the bar and talk for 5 minutes. That's 4 minutes of sales that you're giving away by trying to be a nice guy. You've got to talk less and mix more drinks. And all of my friends could have said, well, I could have told you that from the beginning. Ireland's the worst bartender we've ever had because all he does is talk. It's not
what
a shock.
What kind of restaurant was it?
Well, one of them is still there. It's not far from where Mason lives. It's a place called the San Francisco Saloon.
Oh, yeah.
On Olympic near Barrington. And the
you
other place...
Say. Go ahead.
The other place was a place called... Same owner. It was a place called Marshall Sutter's that was on the corner of... It might be on Pico, come to think of it. San Francisco Saloon might be on Pico in Barrington. And the other place was near Pico and Bundy.
I feel like it depends on the type of place that it is because there are... A lot of places where, you know, like when I had two bartending jobs, one, I did it on purpose where one was a really high volume, fast paced, slinging drinks as fast as humanly possible thing. And then the other one was like a slower hole in the wall bar where, you know, you might have 1/100th the amount of customers. But if it's a guy who wants to come in and sit there and tell you his whole life story and he's going to tip you really for the most part, you know, you learn to know who those people are and they're your regulars and they tip you really well for it. Depends.
Yeah, I that was one of the best jobs I ever had. I had money in my pocket all the time, but they finally had to come to me and go, you need to stop talking so
much. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. When Richard Schiff was on the Cultured Pop podcast, your friend Richard Schiff, he told me that the thing about playing golf with you is that you never shut up.
No, and what he would tell you is that I basically do a running soundtrack of his game.
Yeah, so that's what he said.
He said when you hit good shots, he would tell you it's great because it feels like you have a real announcer calling your shots. And when you hit bad shots, you're like, John, shut the F up. But he's right. Yeah, I have like a running commentary.
Yeah, you are talky. You're a talky guy. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, it's time, people.
It's time.
It's that time of the evening when we do some crosstalk. Mason and Ireland, along with Alan Sliwa, because we're right on the verge of Sliwa at sunset. 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. It is that special time of the evening. Rolls around, right around this time every weeknight. It is time for that man with that one-room apartment. With the Murphy bread.
Full glass of gin.
Full glass of gin.
Full glass.
Sliwa at sunset. Alan Sliwa's here. Sliwa, what are you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? You said this is the second best show that you've ever had?
Yeah, second best after a show I did in 1986.
And you asked John if he remembered that show. And John, your response?
I had met Mason in 1986.
Yeah, I was. Well, I,
it but
was
Alan, the, you got to realize at 4:20 I was doing the show, every day.
No, I was doing the show with somebody else. The best show I ever did was with somebody other than John.
Hey, so Dan Wakey from the LA Times just posted a story to the website about the NBA coming back. And he said that at one point, Staples Center expressed interest in hosting the NBA's return with LA Live acting as the hub with hotel and dining options and direct access to the arena, but serious conversations never materialized. That would have been fun.
Oh, that would have been great. It would
have been amazing.
Just games at Staples Center starting early in the morning and running all the way through the night. And that, you know, there's a secret tunnel that runs from LA Live to Staples Center.
Yeah, just went through that. Yeah,
and boy, that would have been awesome. I know that's the first I've heard of that. Have you guys ever heard that before?
No,
not Staples. I heard Houston was. They said initially there were multiple cities that were trying to submit, but they just kept mentioning that Vegas and Orlando were the two. You know,
well,
the two Wyke favorites.
Wyke said, and I'm just quoting Dan. A single location might be the preferred route for some, though there are other options under consideration. A secondary location could still happen with Vegas, an NBA partner, MGM Resorts, putting together a second spot, or Houston is also reportedly being considered as a hosting site. So it sounds like nothing is finalized, but all these things are possible.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not officially Vegas. It sounds like Disney World is for sure, and Vegas may be less sure as the second site. If they're talking about Houston, boy, it would have been so fantastic for it to be at Staples Center. I don't know why they wouldn't consider that.
Yeah, I mean, look, preference-wise, don't you think all the players would want, I mean, if there's one city they all want to, I know it's different, it's under different circumstances. It's not like they get to go enjoy L.A. like they would if everything was open, but a lot of the players also, if I'm right, John, a lot of these players live in L.A. too. I mean, there's a ton of them in that Manhattan area, just coastal in general, but, that would have been amazing.
All right, here's another story that you guys may want to react to. The Saints announced earlier this week that they're looking for a new naming rights partner for what's currently known as the Mercedes-Benz Superdome starting next year. The VP of Communications for the Saints, Greg Bensel, said in a statement that they're looking for a partner to represent our city, state, region as a leader to better our community and to bring positive change to our region, our city, and state. So everybody knows that New Orleans is a city that has struggled economically.
Yep.
A company has offered $15 million to rename the Saints' home.
Okay.
That company is Strip Chat.
Oh, come on.
Which builds itself as one of the world's leading adult webcam sites. But they're willing to pony up $15 million. Let's say, for the sake of discussion, that nobody else even offers 10, but Strip Chat is offering $15 million. Can the Saints consider Strip Chat?
They cannot. You think they can, Mace?
Absolutely no circumstance whatsoever.
All right, Mace, let me make the argument for him. The Strip Chat communications director, a guy named Max Bennett, said in a news release, "In our opinion, New Orleans is the party capital of the United States. I'd like to think that we here at Strip Chat embody some of New Orleans' character and flair. As one of the world's leading adult webcam sites that averages over 60 million visitors per month, we know a thing or two about having a good time."
Absolutely not.
By the way, Mercedes was paying $10 million a year. So this is $5 million more.
But they're offering $15 million a year for how long?
Let me see.
Like, it's genius marketing, right, Mace? Like, I think a lot of times they just throw this out there.
Oh, sure.
You and I never heard about it before, and now all of a sudden there's so many outlets.
It does not say the term. It says announced a $15 million offer to rename it as the Strip Chat.
Because, like, SoFi paid $400 million over 20 years. Is Strip Chat ready to pony up that level of...
Remember, we're in market 2. New Orleans is like market 30.
Yeah, but
still... Well,
think
of Vegas, too. Vegas, they name... What's Raider Stadium? Is that Allegiant?
Yeah.
Allegiant Stadium? I mean, if there's any place in Vegas, I mean, what's Vegas known for? They still found a, you know, corporate 500 company.
In Vegas, they're paying $25 million per year. Allegiant,
what would they
is.
Call it? Strip Chat Stadium?
Strip Chat Superdome.
that is just ridiculous.
By the way, if this, as Alan suggested, if this is just a marketing ploy by
That's
Strip
brilliant,
Chat.
Because you just brought it up in the number two media market in the world.
It's super smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys
and everybody
know that,
is smart.
Did you guys know that Mike Tyson is supposedly either in negotiations or maybe even already has bought the naming rights to one of the stadiums in Barcelona, one of the soccer stadiums.
For and what should it company. Be called?
I guess his cannabis company is called Swiss X.
Well, so here's the thing. If it's Swiss X, you don't know it's a cannabis company by the title. Strip Chat, you know exactly what it is.
But Mike Tyson said that he wanted to name it, instead of Swiss X New Camp, it would be Camp New Blank You Gotta Try. That's what he wanted to go with.
Yeah, that's not going to fly.
But like, Mace, what if Pornhub came in with the highest bid by a mile?
No!
The Pornhub Superdome.
No, you can't bring your kids to a 20 stadium 25 with that name on it.
$25 million to go to the Pornhub Superdome.
Parents have to answer enough awkward questions.
You know, they gave Pornhub
Mace, you and I have been. You and I have been to New Orleans. That whole town is drunk. The Pornhub Superdome would completely work.
Pornhub tried to buy the naming rights for the stadium when the Miami Heat built their new one.
That's right. Yeah, that was another one.
I'm starting to wonder if any of these porn sites are really serious or if they're just throwing it out there to get free coverage like this is doing.
I think that's the correct answer. By the way, can't we get Mike Tyson on the show? He and I have so much in common.
Yeah, what, that at 4:20 every day you get stoned?
Yeah. Let's have him on someday at 4:20. Can't you get Mike Tyson on? He's got Tyson Ranch where he's growing weed and
well, I'm working on it. His publicist is a big fan of you guys since one of our other clients was recently on our show. So we're working on it.
Hey, let me also say this about naming rights. I've made this speech for many years. You have to get on the ground floor with naming rights. For example, we're going to call Staples Center, even if Staples bails out. Now, when I do the Laker games, the Lakers will instruct me to call it whoever buys the naming rights. But you guys who don't have a responsibility or are not paid by the Lakers to do it will always refer to it as Staples Center, won't you? Like, Mace, where did the Niners play before they moved to San Jose?
Candlestick Park.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they changed, like 3M bought the rights to that to Candlestick Park, and nobody ever called it 3M Park. You know, it makes no sense. You have to get the naming rights for the first,
it's true.
20 years.
It's very true.
Like I know people that still call where the Ducks play, they call it the pond, the Arrowhead Pond.
Right.
It's been the Honda Center for like 15 years.
So look, this is interesting.
Qualcomm Mace is San Diego County Credit. You know, like it's one of those.
Well, Qualcomm, when Mason and I were there, we all called it Jack Murphy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. AEG says they have a lifetime naming rights deal for Staples Center. The chain promises to pay almost $120 million to put its name on top of Staples for 20 years. When would 20 years be?
It's happening now.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, it opened in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they've renewed their deal, but if they haven't, like...
Yeah, they bought lifetime naming rights.
Let's say that, like SoFi, we're going to call that stadium SoFi. If SoFi gives it up in 5 years and somebody else takes the naming rights, most fans are going to already know it as SoFi.
Yeah, yeah. Most of these naming right deals, though, are for like 20 years.
Right, but here's an example. Like, United Airlines, I think, bought naming rights for the Coliseum. But nobody calls it anything but the Coliseum.
Well, but it's United Airlines Field at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum.
Okay, Mace, I didn't even know that.
Right, but every time somebody in the middle of the country watches a game that's being held at the Coliseum, United Airlines will get an impression, what's known as an impression.
Right.
They'll get that every single time. You can't put a naming right on the Coliseum because it's so historic, but you can do United Airlines Field at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, and that's what every announcer, when they introduce a game, is going to say. That's what all the impressions are going to be when people watch stuff on TV. It has more value than you're thinking it does.
Well, but aren't impressions only as good as what the person remembers? Like, for example, I didn't know that. And I've watched 50 games at the Coliseum since United made that deal.
Mace, to play on Ireland's point, you know, Dignity Health, I think a lot of people still call it Home Depot, right?
Yes.
And I think what John is saying is there is this carry-on because they were the first, that because they got in the ground floor, you typically still refer it to the original name. So, yes, a new, you know, partner or advertiser comes in. But it's true, John, a lot of these – I mean, I think the first, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, you might know better on this than I do. One of the first naming rights deal, if not the first naming rights deal, was at the Great Western Forum. Great Western was the bank.
Sure.
But right? I just refer to that place as the Forum.
Yeah, I just refer to it as the Forum, too. By the way, John, the other thing United Airlines is paying for is they're paying for the exposure for the 2028 Olympics. So that's a worldwide brand, and everybody is going to see United Airlines Field or United Airlines Stadium when they watch the Olympics around the world. So that's what they're paying for more than anything, probably, is
yeah,
for
I
the
always
Olympics.
Think that when, I always think that when they name the field or the court, that it doesn't work. Like, for example, do you know UCLA plays their home games where, Alan? Basketball.
Pauley Pavilion.
Right. Do you know who the court's named after?
I think it's John Wooden, right?
It's John and Nell Wooden Court. But everybody refers to their home as Pauley Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's you want to be the first one in. I mean, SoFi is going to be there for 20 years. Staples has got a lifetime deal now to be the naming rights for the building that AEG owns in downtown Los Angeles. Some of them are less prominent places. So the pond will, I mean, sometimes I guess I do call it the Honda Center, but mostly it's the pond. Angel Stadium was briefly Edison Field, and now it's back to Angel Stadium.
Right.
StubHub became Allegiant Field, right? Allegiant
No,
Health.
That's where the Raiders
Dignity
play.
Health.
Yeah. So that didn't help.
And Bank of California Stadium, I think we'll always call that the bank.
Right, because they got in on the ground floor.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the second one in doesn't get nearly the value.
Right. So whoever from Staples cut the deal to be the initial tenant on Staples Center was a genius. Because that's going to be Staples Center forever.
Yep.
Can I ask you guys a quick question? I don't know if you
Oh, sure, yeah. Please, Alan, please, ask away. Ask away.
Mace, what do you think this whole NFL thing where they're incentivizing teams to hire minority candidates, is that not one of the most disrespectful things to do,
well,
just
you know,
to even label it,
it
that way?
They gave it up,
but no, I don't think it's disrespectful.
You don't think? You didn't think it was?
What, Alan, why is it disrespectful?
If a player, there's only four minority coaches in the NFL, right?
Right.
Now.
Correct.
So hypothetically speaking, if an African American got a head coaching job or he got a general manager role, I think a lot of people are going to look at it at not he got it for his merit, he got it because they incentivized the teams. That bothers me.
How's that different, though, Alan, from the mm-hmm. years of affirmative action that were required in order to get universities to take more minority candidates?
Okay, and Alan, by the way, also answer this. If you don't change what the Rooney Rule is now, what's your plan to get more minorities hired? Because what you're doing now isn't working.
Well, what Dungy said, I think, is perfect. Dungy said that they know they have to do something. This just isn't the best thing to do.
What is your or anybody else's suggestion? You can continue to say this isn't a solution, but what is? They've tried everything. These owners, these old stodgy white owners, will not offer these jobs to minorities. I actually think, Mace, that this may have been an ingenious play by the NFL offices to say, to just start the discussion to say,
look, we're trying something.
Yeah, we're going to put something absurd out there so you people realize that this is a real problem and we have to deal with it.
They definitely got the word out.
But Alan, the problem with your position is it doesn't fix the problem. Can I put it this way.
Alan, did you have a problem with affirmative action?
Of course.
Because that's exactly what we're... Did you say of course?
You did?
No. Listen. Let me go back to one thing here. If Tony Dungy or Anthony Lynn, okay, African Americans in the league, Tony Dungy won a, obviously won a Super Bowl. If they had come out and if it didn't bother them, let's just say hypothetically, they said, as long as we're getting closer to the right solution, then it makes sense. I'm looking at it as, it doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth that they're incentivizing. I want that coach, that African-American coach, who we all know, Mina Kimes did a study, I think, back in 2016, or she did a research paper, 2016, professors from Georgetown, Washington. I'll read this to you. White position coaches and assistants in the NFL are more than twice as likely to be promoted to a coordinator than their black counterparts, regardless of their performance, experience, or coaching background.
So how do you fix that?
So what's your solution to address it?
by the way, you're 100% right. If I don't have a solution, if I'm going to have an opinion on something, I should have a solution. That part, I don't disagree with at all.
Well, what the I'm other thing is,
I don't think that is the solution.
Right, but you don't have one. And like when Mason asked you about affirmative action, your first response was, you have a problem with it. I don't.
There was a time when affirmative action was necessary.
And by the way, Alan, I'll give you an example. I went to UCLA. UCLA now because they
I'd have
they,
to be more educated on it. I mean, right. That,
well,
I'll give you
an example. UCLA right now, it does not allow you to be you're not even allowed to put it on a form what your nationality is. Okay? It's strictly based on grades. That's it. So the end result is the only African-American students at UCLA are the guys on the sports teams. It's less than 5% of the school. When I was at UCLA, because they allowed different things, you got a full college experience. I wanted to go to college with people that were black and Mexican and Asian and white. I wanted a full college is to prepare you for the rest of the world. When you get out in the world, everybody's not all white. Right now, UCLA is pretty close to all white. I would welcome them a chance to go back to those days. I think that we're so afraid of offending people. And when you brought this up, you said this is so offensive. Okay, maybe it is, but it's not a fake problem. The problem needs to be addressed. There are no black coaches in this league, and they're not being given opportunities. Eric Bieniemy,
and it's a league that's 80% black.
Right, but that's the whole point. Like, I'm not disagreeing. There needs to be more African American or minority coaches or general managers. That's not the point I'm making. So I hope that.
But is the Rooney Rule working?
Apparently, it's not. Right?
Correct.
Well, no.
Three of the last 20.
You can take out, apparently.
Yeah. Three of the last 20 head coaches in the NFL have been white. How is that possible in a league that's 80% black?
And, Alan, part of the problem is, too, that some of these black coaches, when they get an opportunity, they get blown out after a year, like Todd Bowles did down in Arizona. They gave him that job for 1 year. And who was the guy, or was it Bowles that was with the Jets? The guy with Arizona.
Steve Wilkes
and Todd Bowles both got 1 year and
one
gone.
Year,
and they'll probably never get another head coaching job. Some of these other guys, like when Adam Gase got blown out, he got another job right away.
And you guys heard what Anthony Leland said, right? Coach of the Chargers. Did you hear? I'll read just a small piece off of it. And I think this is what these are the main things that stand out to me. If he is saying, he said, sometimes you can do the wrong thing while trying to do the right thing. Continue to say it's out of desperation. You're right. They don't have a solution. So they're obviously looking for a solution. If Anthony Lynn or Tony Dungy, if I felt, you know, their comments were, man, you know what, we're on our way to something here. This sounds good. I would feel good about it. I'm just, you know, I'm obviously not African American, so I can't relate to it. But I can look at the numbers like you are. And Mace, you mentioned 80% of the league is African American, but it's such a small percentage that are represented in a GM role or a head coaching role, it is an issue. When I say the incentivize, I see what you guys are saying about, well, at least they're putting more coaches in there. Like if you move up 6 picks in the draft, 10 picks because you hired an African-American general manager or African-American coach, I'm assuming the way you two are looking at it is saying, well, at least you have more African-American coaches, more African-American GMs. Is that the way you guys are looking at it?
Yes. Now, I'm not in favor of this particular plan. I think some variation of this plan could conceivably work. I don't think this plan was ever serious.
I think it's to jumpstart this conversation that we're having right now.
I think there should be a plan to incentivize franchises to invest in minority hiring. You can interview as many people. I think now you have to interview at least one minority candidate when you have a general manager opening, and you have to these are the new rules, and you have to interview at least two minority candidates when hiring a head coach. I don't think that's going to change anything. I think that's just cursory. I don't think that's going to change anything. I don't think you've substantially changed the structure that prevents African Americans from elevating themselves to head coaching positions and general managers in the NFL. To me, that's just lip service.
And part of this, too, guys, and this is a broader discussion, but if you look at the guys that are getting promoted, a lot of times it's offensive coordinators or quarterback coaches, and very few minorities are in those jobs. So if you want to take a broader look at that, you say, okay, let's identify some guys that could be quarterback coaches or offensive coordinators and put them in the pipeline. And that
like there, there are two guys now, Byron Leftwich and Eric Bieniemy are the two guys that are offensive coordinators right now who are African-American.
Right.
So if one of those guys doesn't get a job soon, it's just it's there's
old white guys hiring people that look like them.
Yeah. Or in the case of the Rams, it's young white guys hiring people that look like them.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Alan Sliwa is going to read something. It's one of the highlights of the night when he reads something. And then also we find out what's in the can. How many interviews
tonight, Alan?
Two total.
Okay.
How many has he pre-recorded? How many are in the can? We'll find out coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, what kind of setup is that? I'll tell you, it's a setup for Sliwa.
I moved out. I got married. I'm in a mansion, and I have three dogs. Everything changed since the last
really?
Time.
Really? It's all different
yeah.
now.
Yeah, everything changed.
That's very funny.
Crosstalk so on 710.
Yeah, I was going to say you should read something.
Crosstalk on 710, powered by Power Pro and their cross-trade services, servicing plumbing plus heating and air. Great power specials right now. $99 drain cleaning or $59 AC tune-up, which includes a safety inspection and a temporary disinfect for your HVAC system. Make an appointment today. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. I mentioned this to you, Mace. I don't know if you guys saw on...
Wait, whoa. Aren't we skipping a step?
What happened?
What's in the can?
Oh, what's in the can?
It's our bit. Yeah. We do what's in the can.
Yeah. That's right. That's
what's
my
apologies,
guys.
What's in the can?
Okay, two of them. Two of them in the can.
Okay.
Both of them. I'm sorry.
Two interviews total.
But you already said they're both in the can. Who are they?
I definitely gave it up. Do you guys think there's somebody from The Athletic or no?
Since you asked, I'm going to say no.
I agree. No.
Pedro Mora from The Athletic.
Oh! The Athletic is represented.
Your streak is over.
By the way, I don't think you'll like I have somebody coming on from The New York Times. Jerry Longman, with no fans in the seats, do sports remain must-watch TV? He covered that game.
Wait, you got the Jerry Longman?
Wait, man, let me explain here.
Whoa.
He covered a game.
What time is this?
I've
been trying to get
in 2015,
Jerry Longman for
you guys are
years.
Punks.
Lindsay, when do we get Jerry Longman?
Unbelievable.
He's a hard guy to book. Does Booker turn me down?
Can I do this? When I tweet out that he's coming on, do you guys want to be tagged in it? Any comments you want to put on there?
Tag me in that. Respond.
You should put, the man Mason and Ireland have been after for years. I've got him tonight.
Unbelievable.
Jerry Longman.
We have never, John, 26 years, we've never had Jerry Longman on the show.
How is this possible? This is an outrage. Lindsay.
I thought that's when you got him on, Mason, 1986.
86, yeah. Wow. Okay. Well,
that was
great.
The year.
I'm excited about that, Jerry Longman.
It would have played perfectly into what you mentioned. Rams, Aaron Donald, right? Had that Zoom call earlier today.
Yeah.
And he said, "You need fans to play a game."
Wait a minute. Are you sure he didn't say it's 6:24?
It's 6:24, and you're out the door.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll say.
Oh my God! It is 6:24.
Time flies when you're having a good time, guys.
He was just getting going.
What Aaron Donald is going to say next from Sliwa.
Unbelievable.
We're back tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Jillian Michaels, fitness guru, and Boog Shambi is going to join us tomorrow, along with Travis Rogers as we get ready for the big match.
6:25 now, Sliwa. You owe us an extra minute tomorrow.
Yeah. This is great.
6:23 tomorrow.
You're right. I'm done. Tomorrow, 2:55 sharp, 710 ESPN.